morning. It's a very beautiful day, isn't it? You know, the beautiful thing about a feast is seeing so many wonderful people. People that you haven't seen in such a long time. And also to see that we're all back together again. That we've held out and that we're hanging in there. And the beautiful thing for me, I've been with the college 10 years now. And to watch all of those students who were freshmen and sophomores and seniors when I came to the college. And you know, I have 6 children and some of them are beginning to catch up with me. And I'm beginning to feel a little bit old. And I saw a lady here. I was still in the Marine Corps. My wife was not even in the church. And the first year we camped out in Big Sandy, this lady was behind us. She's camping right behind us. And we had not seen her in such a long time, in 10 years I think it was. And to see people like that, and to see all of you, I wish I could just reach out and just hug you and kiss all of you. Because you're very wonderful and very, very special. And to see all of the students, the ex-students, all of the friends is very beautiful. Isn't this a fantastic feast? Isn't it? God has been so good to all of us. And it's very moving and very touching to be a part of it all. Especially when I look at myself and I know I don't deserve it. For some reason, God has called me out of the world and allowed me to be part of your family. Because when I grew up, I didn't have much of a family. I was an adopted child. And I had 5 different fathers and 2 different mothers. And you know, God has more than made up for it. Now I have hundreds of mothers, hundreds of fathers, and they're all very beautiful. Have you ever heard or saw something, or maybe smelled something that started you to thinking? Well, several weeks ago, I heard and I saw something that started me to thinking. And it's been on my mind ever since. There was something very beautiful, and it reminded me of the kingdom of God, of the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. Well, when I saw this, it started me to thinking and looking at the world, and it started me to realizing that the world has rejected this attribute or this attitude or state of mind. And I started thinking about that. And I started looking at my friends who are no longer with us, who have left the church, and somewhere along the way they lost this particular attitude or state of mind. And it's very sad. And because the world has rejected the state of mind or attitude or character trait, whatever you care to call it, because it is not taught in the homes are breaking up in this nation. Because it is not taught any longer. I know I'm from one of those broken homes. Homes are breaking up. I was one of the children. And my brother and I used to cry ourselves asleep all night long. If there's any of you contemplating breaking your home up, remember the children. But it seems as though this attribute is not taught very much in the home. And because of it, the homes are breaking up. It is not being demanded of our youth in the schools and colleges across the land. And because it is not there, our educational system is in shambles. It's a wretched mess. This is the greatest nation the world has ever seen. But in LA County, where we live, they have policemen in some of the hallways of the schools to keep the teachers and other students from being molested and harassed. Our educational system has rejected it because the armed forces seem to have forgotten how vital this attitude is It is not stressed anymore. And what was once the finest fighting force of any nation in the world is no longer that. We're no longer the finest fighting force in the world. We had a very high desertion rate in Vietnam. And we had men killing their officers because it is not stressed any longer. And we watched the armed forces deteriorate. Because this attitude is lacking in our society, we have runaway crime. We have violence of every description. Murder, constantly, day in and day out. It seems that every minute of the day in this nation, someone is murdered because we have forgotten how vital this attribute is. Rape is an epidemic proportions. We're living like beasts because we have rejected God and rejected this attitude that was once so prevalent that I learned as a little boy. Robbery. Bank robberies that you can't believe are taking place because this attitude, this state of mind is not present in our nation anymore. Because of the lack of this attitude, our air is polluted. I thought several weeks ago we were going to choke to death in Pasadena. It's terrible. And I had to take off 2 days from work because I was so sick I couldn't work, breathing the garbage, because man has refused this attitude or this state of mind. Is there a pure drink of water anymore in this nation? And why isn't there? What about our food? What about people who dump sprays and dyes on food who are not concerned about their fellow human beings? This attitude is not present on the farm anymore or among the manufacturers. Everything, it seems, shows a lack of this particular attitude. Last night, somewhere, probably in Tucson, and I know in Los Angeles County, some child was beaten so bad that he was taken to a hospital for lack of this attitude. Maybe. When I was a child, there was no such thing as child beating or no laws. I had stepdads who beat us until they saw blood and would not stop. It is because of a lack of the right attitude. Somewhere, a wife is being brutalized and beaten the way you wouldn't beat a dog because of this society, what Satan has done and what we have allowed him to do. You want to know what it was I saw that started me thinking about the sermonette some weeks ago? There was a young man this summer at college, at Ambassador College. His name is Oswell. It means all is well. And he's a young man from the continent of Africa. And I invited Oswell to my home for dinner, along with Mr. Mays, and something very wonderful happened. I asked Oswell to meet me at my office at about 5 o'clock, and we would go home and we'd have dinner. My wife was preparing a nice dinner. And Oswell wanted to see how black Americans live in our home, and we had many things we wanted to discuss. Well, Oswell showed up at my office promptly at 5. And I was getting ready to go, and I had several packages in my briefcase. And Oswell said, "I'll help you carry that, Mr. Green." I said, "Well, thank you, Oswell." And he helped me with the packages. That wasn't particularly unusual. And as we were leaving the building, Mr. Buddy Marino, who works for the festival office, stopped me. And we started discussing something. I don't remember what it was at the time, but I looked around and Oswell was not standing next to me. And I said, "Oswell, come on over." And Oswell looked at me and he said, "It's not polite when someone else is talking to listen in on their conversation. Thank you, sir." Well, Mr. Marino and I finished our conversation and we went on down to the parking structure. And I opened the door for Oswald and opened it, and I went around on the driver's side, and I noticed he was still standing outside of the car. And I said, "Get in, Oswald," but I noticed he didn't get in until after I had gotten in. And when we arrived at home, he was very gracious and he acknowledged my wife and all of her work, and each of the children, even the five-year-old, talking as though he was a little person. And all during the evening as we were talking, Mr. Mays is an elder also, and we were talking, but I noticed whenever I was speaking or Mr. Mays was speaking, Oswald would not speak. I said, "Oswald, come on and join in the conversation." And he said, "Mr. Green, it is not right and proper that a man should speak when an elder is speaking, whether it's age or an elder in the church, it is not proper." And as the evening went on, I saw something that I have been thinking about ever since that evening. It was the deep respect that this young African man had learned. It was his deep respect for everything, for God. It was his deep respect for God's church and for God's people. It was his deep respect for life and for everything. That evening, I learned a very valuable lesson. In the world tomorrow, respect is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Respect for our elderly people, they will be given the rightful place in this society. They will be given their rightful place. Those who have labored so hard and so long will be honored and will not be afraid to leave their homes. And they will not be robbed and mugged and beaten and taken advantage of. They will be given their rightful place in God's society. We have forgotten what respect is in this nation. But I can tell you that none of us will be a part of God's kingdom unless we learn respect. In the world tomorrow, respect is going to be the order of the day. The world has rejected. It has rejected respect for those in authority. And one of the first things I noticed are those that I knew. When they were leaving the church, it started with disrespect. It was no longer Mr. Armstrong. We could make games with his first name. There was no respect toward the men who had baptized us and who had prayed that we would be healed. Everything was light and casual, and respect seemed to have been waning in the church. If a teenager were to say, "Yes, sir," or "No, ma'am," he would be looked upon by other teenagers as something strange and weird. And as we were rearing our children in the church, I had people tell me, "Your son and daughter don't have to say yes, sir, or no, sir, to me. You're too strict, Mr. Green." Because Satan has so watered this down that he wants us not to have respect. Because you see, it was he who did not have respect for God and who somewhere along the line lost that respect. Satan uses human beings to express himself. And he expresses himself to God and to all of creation his disrespect. Everything that God has created, everything that is holy, this world disrespects it. And there is no respect. And that is one of the reasons our society is in the terrible shambles that it is. In 1 Peter, I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible. Paraphrase. 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. So the Apostle Peter writes under the inspiration of God. So get rid of your feelings of hatred. Don't pretend to be good. Be done with dishonesty and jealousy and talking about others behind your back. Now that you realize how kind the Lord has been to you, put away all evil, all deception, all envy and fraud. Long to grow up in the fullness of your salvation. Cry for this as babies cry for milk. Come to Christ, who is the living foundation, rock upon which God builds. Though men have spurned him, he is very precious. God, who has chosen him above all others. And in verse 5, and now you and I, each of us, and now you have become living building stones for God's use in building his house. You and I have become living building stones for God's use in building his house. What's more, you are his holy priest. So come to him, you who are acceptable to him, because of Jesus Christ, and offer to God those things that please him. God is pleased when he sees a respectful attitude. He is pleased when he sees us esteem others higher than ourselves. Respect, according to the dictionary, means to consider worthy of high regard, to esteem, to honor. And God is well pleased when we honor each other and we esteem each other highly. Mr. Kelly is going to be speaking, giving the sermon, and I worked for him for almost 10 years, almost the full time I've been with the college. And he's been my boss all of that time. And you know, we have not seen things eye to eye. In fact, we've had a couple of stormy arguments. But he was my boss, and I did what he told me to do. But I'll tell you one thing. I always respected him. And I always carried out what he asked me to do. And he always respected me. And you know, it grew from a friendship to where I loved the man very, very deeply. And I learned a lot from him. We didn't always agree, but he was my boss and I always respected him and I showed him respect. And I show his wife and I show his family respect. I strive to do that because I know it is pleasing to God. I have enough other faults that give me trouble, but I can sure work on being respectful. And then in dropping down to verse 16. You are free from the law, but that doesn't mean, same chapter, but that doesn't mean you are free to do wrong. Live as those who are free to do only God's will at all times. And then in verse 17, show respect for everyone, Christ tells us. Don't forget, we are living building stones, and those stones must be constructed of something special. He said, show respect for everyone. There are no exceptions. For everyone. Love Christians everywhere. Fear God and honor the government. Servants, you must respect your master. Do whatever they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are tough and cruel. We must learn to respect. We must grow in respect. We must strive to be respectful. The world must know we are different. They must know and understand and see that. We must be respectful, and we must be done away with being disrespectful, displeasing to God. And then in chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 8. And now this word to all of you. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't snap back at those who say unkind things about you. Instead, pray for God's help for them. For we are to be kind to others, and God will bless us for it. If you want a happy, good life, it says, keep control of your tongue and guard your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Try to live in peace, even if you must run after it to catch hold of it. For the Lord is watching His children, listening to their prayers. The Lord's face is hard against those who do evil. Usually no one will hurt you for wanting to do good, but even if they should, you're to be envied, for God will reward you for it. Quietly, trust yourself to Christ your Lord. And if anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him, and do it in a gentle and a respectful way. Brethren, let us respect God above all. To respect all that God has ordained holy in His creation. Let's grow in respect for our God. And let us grow in respect for our fellow man. Respecting all people. No matter what their station is in life, but showing them respect. Esteeming them highly. Because they belong to God and they're all His children. And brethren, and especially you teenagers, respect yourself. Respect yourself. And you teenagers, respect yourself. And let's respect others as we respect ourselves. What I have been talking about is simply love. Showing love for each other. Let's start right now. Let's make a commitment in our hearts and minds now, today, to be a little more respectful and to be kind and courteous to those out here who are the elders. Unless in God's church, put the elders where they belong, in a place of high regard, high esteem. Let's respect motherhood. Let's respect womanhood. Let's respect manhood. Let's respect our God. And I know God's going to be very pleased with this.